You know, there are things that happen to you that don't have to define you. Things like losing a job. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hand. But if you ever lost a job, that's a humiliating experience. That's a frightening experience. That's an absolute terrifying experience, not knowing how you're going to pay the bills and take care of things. If you've ever been divorced, that's a terrifying place to be. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but it's never easy. Sometimes people have financial failures. Most people, I think, have had at some measure of financial failure, whether it's huge or little, whether it's a huge drop in the stock market or the loss of a home, or whether it's just a small, getting paid less amount of money. But everyone has had moments of life where you're not happy about your financial status. How about relationship failures? You know, the most painful thing in the world, and this is David's writing, by the way. David writes in one place, he said, listen, if an enemy would have come against me, I could have handled it. But it wasn't an enemy, it was you, my friend, who walks with me in the throngs to the temple. You're the one that came against me. And he was so broken by that because he said, there's nothing that hurts worse than the wounds of a friend. There's nothing that hurts worse than the wounds of someone you trusted, someone that you leaned on, someone you believed in, and that person hurts you. David said, if an enemy would have said it, I would have just dismissed it. But it wasn't an enemy. He said, we took sweet counsel together. That means I confided in you, and you confided in me. You know my secrets, and now you're turning them all on me. And David was so, he even said, my enemies, he even said, my neighbors, I'm a disgust to my neighbors and my enemies. When he was hiding in the cave, he said, even my own brethren, they don't want to have anything to do with me. He felt like everyone hated him because he had run away from the courts of Saul. He was so broken in that state. Failure. How about prison? You know, some of the greatest, do you know that? Some of the greatest books in the world have been written in prison. Paul Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I think a lot of people bought my book thinking they were buying his book. They were so disappointed, I'm sure, when they didn't get Paul Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. How about a lot of the New Testament? How about all the disciples How about the church of Colossae that was started in the house of Philemon by Epaphras? And Epaphras is in prison with the Apostle Paul in Rome for preaching the gospel. How about that? How about the book of Philippians or Colossians or Romans? All books written in prison. Prison does not have to define the rest of your life. Rehab, addiction, these are things that happen to you. But these are not things that define who you are. If anybody in this room has ever risen above any of the things I just mentioned, it doesn't matter which one it is, I want you to give God praise that there's life beyond that. There's life beyond it. Some of those things I just mentioned. They happened to you, and it was a bad chapter in a great book. The book of your life is long. It's filled with great, great chapters of victory. You don't have to be defined by one bad scene or one bad chapter in your life. You got to move beyond that and see yourself as God sees you. You cannot allow insecurity to override your life because bad things have happened to you. Because you're more than that. You can't be defined by that. You're more than that. And let me just say this. If God has forgiven someone, none of us have the right to judge anyone for something that God has forgiven them for. Amen? Amen. It's called redemption. That means the Lord bought you back. And that's why I love it when Perry says, don't fish in the sea of forgetfulness. We shouldn't do that because it brings a curse upon our life according to how Perry interprets that passage. It brings a curse upon our life. No, if God has forgiven someone, we should also move on and forgive them as well.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
I had a seminary crisis a few years ago when I was pastoring a mega church in St. Louis, and the Lord told me to come build a school. And I was sitting in T.L. Lowry Ministry Center one day by myself, had no staff, so me and a laptop, and I didn't even really have to go to the office every day because it's just me, but I did it every day. I'd get up every morning, kiss my wife goodbye, and I'd head on to that big old empty building by myself, and I'd sit there and I'd, with me and a laptop, and I got to feeling sorry for myself, not really feeling sorry for myself, but confused. And I called up one of my spiritual fathers, Dr. Lamar Vest, and I said, "Dr. Vest, I need to meet you for lunch today." And we sit down in Aubrey's, and I said, "Dr. V," I said, "I got a problem." I said, "I don't know who I am anymore." I said, "I knew who Pastor B was, but I don't know who this guy is." And he just starts laughing at me. And I said, "Why are you laughing? This is not funny. Why are you laughing?" He said, "Well, Brian, you can only be one thing. You're still Brian Cutshaw. You can't forget that. You just got a different title, but you're still Brian Cutshaw." And he's the one that said, "Well, you were Pastor B all those years. Why don't you just be Dr. B now?" So here it is. It's stuck. And so here we are. And he just said, "You're still the same person you've always been." And that's something a lot of people got to realize, that just because your title's changed or you're retired now or you don't have an important seat or you're not at the head of the table does not mean that you're not still the same person that you've always been, the person that God loves, the person that God called, the person that God anointed, the person that God wants to use. You don't have to wait on titles to define you or position to define you. So let's see how Moses got through this. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to read several verses here. They're going to be on the screens, or you can follow me in your Bible. Here's this conversation where Moses says, "Who am I?" And this is how God got him out of his insecurity. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to me." Does that sound like an insecure person? Absolutely. "Suppose they're not going to listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" And so the Lord said, "Okay, we got to fix this. So what do you have? Let's work with what you have." Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, "We got to start with what you have. Let's quit thinking about what you don't have. Let's start with what you have." So the Lord turns to Moses and says, "Well, what is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." "Okay, it's a rod. We can start there. We'll use that." So he said, verse 3, he said, "Cast it on the ground." They cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Moses ran away from it. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." Now that took great faith right there. He was stronger than he thought he was, because I know a few people wouldn't have grabbed that snake by the tail. And he reached out and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. He said, "Now every time they come against you," I'm just going to paraphrase the rest, "every time they say that you're not, that God didn't see you, just throw that thing on the ground. It'll become a snake, and you pick it back up, it becomes a rod. See, I've given you a gift. Believe in the gift and you'll be fine." Well, it wasn't enough. He had a gift, but he still wasn't convinced that he could get it done. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, "Now let's give you another one." He said, if that gift is not enough, let's give you another one. This is what that looked like. He said, "Put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom, and he pulled it out and became leprous, as white as snow. And Moses is scared again. He says, "Now put your hand in your bosom." And so he puts it in, draws it out, and now it's clean. So here's Moses. Here's how he shows up in Egypt. He shows up saying, "The Lord has sent me." And they said, "Oh, I don't think so." He said, "What's this?" He throws it down. It becomes a snake. He picks up, "Well, I don't know. I've seen magicians do that." He said, "But can they do this?" And he does this. I mean, can you imagine? That's how you have to go lead the children of Israel out of bondage. You throw down your stick, it becomes a snake, and you put your hand in your bosom. So here's Moses. So you probably didn't picture him doing this. This is how he got their attention. See, he's doing this all the time. "Oh, that's all I got, but hey, it's going to work. Hey, can you do that?" "No, I can't do that." "Well, I can do that because God touched me." And he finally convinced him by doing this enough and doing that enough that God had actually spoken to him. Otherwise, they wouldn't even going to listen to him. So God says, "Discover your gifts, and I will help you do that." He said, "Well, what if they don't like those tricks?" This is Moses. He's still arguing, still very insecure. Well, I'll give you a third one, all right? And he would give him as many as he needed. He said, just pick up water, pour it out on a jug, and the water will turn into blood. Anywhere you are, just pick up water, dip it in a jug. When you pour it out, it'll be blood. So here's Moses. This is how he convinced the children of Israel that God had sent him. He didn't come in riding on a white horse, slinging his, you know, rope in his hand, his lasso. He didn't come in on a white horse with a lasso and bronze all over him saying, I've come to lead you out of bondage. That's kind of our version of it on TV. Didn't happen that way. He shows up. Aren't you that guy that there's a warrant for your arrest? I mean, you know, you're on the wanted poster in the post office. Yeah, that's me, but please don't tell them because I'm still Hebrew. Oh, we can have this. I mean, they're looking for you. So he shows up as a wanted criminal, and he's got to lead 3 million people free, and they don't even believe him. And he's so insecure. And the other problem is he can't talk plain. History says that it's because, if you look at the oral tradition of Jewish history, says that he actually had burnt his tongue on a hot iron or a coal when he was a little boy, and because of that, he can't speak well. So here he is. He has a speech impediment. He can't speak well. I'm not even going to try to imitate that because I'll make a fool of myself and embarrass somebody and get somebody mad at me. So we're just not even going to go there. You just use your own imagination. But Moses can't talk plain, and he's going around doing this. That's how he gets their attention. And they finally believe him. And they finally believe that the Lord had actually visited Moses because the Lord said, I'm going to let you discover your gifts. When we were in Warrior Fest a few nights ago, Jensen Franklin was very bold to say what he said on Friday night. He said, I was in a season of my life, because Jensen's in his 60s now, and he said, I was in a season of my life where the Lord had me preach under for inspiration. And then as I got older, the Lord had me to preach for information. And now that I'm in the age I'm in now, my message is for impartation. And I thought, wow, how brave of him to say that there's new seasons and new reasons for life. You cannot keep longing for what you used to be or who you could have been or pining for what could have happened. That's not going to happen. You got to get over what didn't happen, what you wanted to happen, what should have happened. You got to get over all that, and you've got to get back to the place that God loves me. God's hand is on my life. God has put gifts in my life. He's going to use me in this season, and even if you're in a new season, find out why you're there and find out what gifts are in that season for you. Because if you're in a new season, the Lord has new gifts to bring you into that season.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.